Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz Kodesh, is daf Mem Tet, and we got up to the second, actually the third line. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Yesterday we discussed the requirements of the Mizbeach in order to be kosher, and how it happened that they passed the Mizbeach by throwing a rock on it. So it happens that we already begun discussing the Mizbeach in the context specifically of the Nisach HaMayim. One of the hidden elements of the Mizbeach is that it connects back to all types of things that come from Maaseh Bereishis. First of all, the creation of Adam HaRishon himself, as the Rambam paskins that Adam HaRishon was actually Nivra from the Mizbeach. That's why its Mokum is so miyuchad. And we know that the Mizbeach, when it comes to the Shittim, it provided the connection between the Mayim HaElyonim and the Mayim HaTachtonim. And ultimately, of course, the main meaning of the Mizbeach is that it provides the integration of all of the various stages of the evolution of life, whether we're talking about animal life, we're talking about vegetation, all the various things that are brought on the Mizbeach, through the das of the makriv to be makariv everything back to the original source of the makshava of Bereishis. And because of that, we take a look at the Mizbeach and we note that when we pour these things out, they go through the shittim, and the shittim themselves are traced back to the very word for Bereishis, remarkably. And that Bereishit can be read as Barashit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the shittim, and that means that the Aveda that we do on Sukkos is a restoration of the original matzav of Adam HaRishon in the Olam, of what it means to be mispalel, what it means to bring your consciousness to the world. And therefore, the Nisach HaMayim is the most primal, really, of all of the Avedas of the Beis HaMikdash, in that it takes us back to the status of Adam and the moment of creation. So because of that, the Gemara now wants to clarify that the Shittim themselves are an artifact of a direct plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Sheshiti Mebereshit. So, Mesheshiti Mebereshit Nivru, Sheneemar, Chamukei Yerechayech Kamo Chalaim, Maaseh Yedei Oman. This is a beautiful mashal that we have in Shir HaShirim that talks about the way Chamukei means remember that which is hidden, or Lehit Chamek, we use the word today, to hide from something. Chamukei Yerechayech means that the area of the, this is of course in terms of Shir HaShirim, is all about a beautiful woman who is the representation of either of Klal Yisrael, or the relationship of Klal Yisrael to the various things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. So we refer to that beauty of this woman as your Yerechayech. Yerechayech means your thighs, which are very beautiful, but it reminds us immediately of the Yerech HaMizbeach, which is constantly referred to in the Torah, to bring things to the thighs of the Mizbeach, in which case Chamukei Yerechayech, that which is hidden on your thighs, are kamo chalaim. So the simple meaning is they're like beautiful stones, jewelry. And they are understood over here to be a reference specifically to these issues. So Chamukei Yerechayech refer to the shisim, because those are what's concealed and the very edge of the Mizbeach, and it goes down through the thigh, through the edge of the Mizbeach, and they are like chala'im. The reason that we would use chala'im, choli ketem, we find in the pasuk, to be a reference to jewelry, is because it is meramis to the fact that they are mecholalim. They are completely hollow, and they go all the way down, ad ha-tahom. They touch the very depths of my sabrashis, choshech al pnei tahom. This is access through the Mizbeach. And when we say Maaseh Yedei Oman, which in the metaphor of Shir HaShirim refers to a master craftsman who makes these beautiful jewels, we're referring to the ultimate master craftsman of Maaseh Bereishis itself. They are Maaseh Yedei Omanuto Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's personal craftsmanship, which means that they were put there from Sheshis Yimei Bereishis. And indeed, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, the actual word Bereishis in Bereishis Bara Elokim is meant to be read Al Tikri Bereishit Ela Bara Shit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Shittim as part of the actual foundations of the essence of Maaseh Bereishis. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, the Shittim go all the way down the Cholalim, they're hollow, and they reach the Tehom itself. Shneemar, because we find another Mashal in Yeshayahu, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sings the blues, so to speak. So here it's Yirmiyahu that is giving over HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sense of bitter disappointment of what happened with his Ma'aseh Bereishis. And this is Ashira Na LeYedidi, let me sing the blues on behalf of my beloved, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shiras Dodi LeCharmo, I want to sing the song of what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in his beautiful vineyard when he made Ma'aseh Bereishis. Kerem Haya LeYedidi BeKeren Ben Shaman. So my lover had this beautiful vineyard in the most wonderful, richest, most fertile place in the world. This is a reference first to Eretz Yisrael. Vayaaskeyu, vayisakleyu. First he surrounded it with a fence to protect it. And then vayisakleyu, he cleared out everything from it that was useless, that prevented it from being properly settled, referring to throwing out the Umas Ha'elam, the Knani, from Eretz Yisrael. Vayitaeyu Sorek, and he planted it not just by throwing things loosely, he selected absolutely the best possible shoots that he could plant and create the next generation of the saplings for his kerem, and he took them and he planted it and he built this protective tower in it, Vayiven Migdal Bitocho, to protect everything in it, Vagam Yakev Chatzevo, he also made a wine vat within that tower. So what does all of this mean? So Yitaeu Sorek, that he utilized absolutely the best. That is the reference to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which was the most wonderful place. This is the very Yisoid and the Shoresh of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, refers to Beis HaMikdash. Where is there a tower in the Beis HaMikdash? That's the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is built like this fort, literally, with all of its various levels and for the places for the people to be shooting from the different levels. So it looks like a fortress. The Gamiyekev Chatzevo, and inside this tower, he created a wine vat. A wine vat? What is that referring to? Ah, that's the Shisim. Because what do you have in a vat? Where you have the upper area where the grapes are squeezed, and then they go down into the vat, which is built deep into the earth to hold the wine. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built this vat, which means that he built the Shisim. However, there's a brisa that indicates that the Shisim, maybe there were Shisim that went all the way to the Tehom as his Merumas, but that's not actually, in practical terms, what we're referring to over here. First of all, remember that we had the Gemara that speaks about David HaMelech, who was Korah Shisim. So, I mean, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Beri Shisim from Sheshis Yimei Bereshis, what's the pshat that David HaMelech was Korah the Shisim? Fine, so that, I mean, is not necessarily a big problem, because some learned that the meaning over there is that the Shisim were prepared from Sheshis Yimei Bereshis, and they needed to be cleared out from all of the dirt that had settled in them in order to put them to practical usages. Obviously, the Shisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made are not tubes, so they were the original Chiburim that we had from the surface of the earth, that is to say, from the Maisim that are being done by the life that develops on the earth, to the depths of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Machshavas in the Cheshech HaPnei Tehem at the original Ma'aseh Bereishis. So that itself is not necessarily a problem. But here what we find is that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok, the wine itself that was set on the Mizbeach didn't reach the Tehom. The wine itself was in a holding area that was underneath the Mizbeach, towards the Ma'arav, towards the left of the Kevesh, and that there was a manhole cover that you could go down. Remember that the Kevesh, we learned out, needed to be not up against the Mizbeach totally. Why? Because we learned that it needs to be, anything that you throw onto the Mizbeach has to be done bezrika. Just like the dam is done bezrika, we learn out that the basar is done this, which means that we need to leave an area between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach. And therefore, it's not surprising to learn that there may have been a place to be able to come down underneath the ground that is beneath the Kevesh through a manhole, and that there they would have the Pirchei Kohuna, and this was a lul katans, was a small area that you could lower yourself, which was between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach, which was towards the western part, to the left of the Kevesh as you go up. ואחת ב-70 שנה פרחי כהונה יורדים לשם. So they had the youngsters that were agile enough and small enough to be able to get in to this deep hole that was underground, and there they would be malaktim misham yayin karush over the 70 years, all of the wine that had fallen into that area from the shisim that were on the Mizbeach, it would seep into the earth, and any congealed element of the wine, which formed like this gel that was a solid, ultimately almost, they would gather it up, yayin karush, so it was congealed wine, and it was so solid that it was domel igulei dvela. It looked like those cakes they used to make, remember, they would press these figs, and they would dry like that, and then when you wanted figs, you would cut a piece of the igulei dvela. They would bring them up, and they would burn the leftover, which was now no longer liquid and could actually be burned, they would burn it in the Beis HaMikdash itself, in the Azara, Bigdusha. How do we know that? Shenemar Bakodesh Hasech Nesech Shechar LaHashem. Now, this pasuk doesn't seem to be saying anything about burning. It just seems to be talking about pouring. So the Gemara is interested. I mean, how exactly do we learn from there that the idea would be kishem shenisucho, that in the same way that the nisuch hayayin had to be bekodesh, kach sreifato had to be bekodesh. So we're not learning out from here the whole idea that there was a place where the kohanim could go in. That's a given. If we're supposed to burn it, then obviously we have a place that we can retrieve it. But the question is, I mean, it can't keep going there forever anyway if it doesn't go all the way down to the tahom. But my mashma, how exactly do we see from there that we're supposed to burn it in the Azara? I mean, it seems a big jump to go from Nesech into burning. So how could that be? Says the Gemara, because it's actually based not on the simple word, it's based on Exereshav. Hatya Kodesh, Kodesh. It says over here the Lashon, Bakodesh, Aseich Nesech Shechar. This is Bakodesh. I mean, obviously, we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach. How could it be elsewhere than Bakodesh? But the point over here is that Bakodesh is there in order to create Exereshav. Because when it came to Notar, it says, Visaravta ta Notar ba'esh lo yachel ki kodeshu. Ah, so this, what appears to be an unnecessary representation of the relationship to Kodesh, is learned actually from the Kodeshu from Notar. And therefore, just like Notar has to be Visaravta ta Notar ba'esh, and there we learn that it has to be in a Mokum Kodesh, so too over here, it must be that it has to be burnt. Okay, so we're assuming now that there's two completely different approaches. One is that the sheet could go all the way down to the Tahom itself, and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek, who learns that there was a holding area for the wine. Now, how do you understand the Mishnah in Me'ilah? The Mishnah in Me'ilah says that there is a din of Me'ilah on the original Nesach, but once it's Yard L'Shisim, there's no din of Me'ilah. Who do you think that that goes according to? So if you utilize the Nesachim after they had been made Kadesh, but before they had been poured down, so then during that time, it's considered to be Kodshe Hashem. Remember that the Din of Me'ilah is limited to that which is called Kodshe Hashem, as it says by Karban Me'ilah. Aren't all kachim kachay Hashem? So if you recall, we've had many times that only kachim that are miyuchadim l'Hashem and don't have other hands in them, such as kachim kalim, or things that the balim are going to be eating, or things that are no longer miyuchad l'Hashem because they've already been used up and their mitzvah has been done. So what it says over here is that these kachim, initially, of course, are considered to be kachay Hashem and it would be male. Suppose you got this wine after it was poured out into the shittim. Once it was yored l'shittim, then there's no more me'ilah. How in the world could you possibly get these yayin if they went down to the tahom? They're lost to the world forever. So, I mean, it must be that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek, no? Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek says that there was a holding place. Because, I mean, how could the Mishnah refer to something that's impossible? According to the Rabbanan, if they were poured into the Shittim, then they already were Nachatululu Tahom. So how could you possibly get them that we have to discuss the questions of Me'ilah? So should we suggest that indeed the Mishnah and Me'ilah is only meaningful in any way according to Rabbi Elazar's Shita, because otherwise there's no way for it to get there? Says the Gemara, no, of course not. Look, I mean, basically, again, as we pointed out in the beginning, we're not really saying that there were no Shittim, according to Rabbi Elazar. We're saying that there was a holding area in which we were capable of getting back the Yayin. That's true according to Rabbanan too. Suppose you took a container, and you put a container there at the bottom of the Shittim, not to allow things to go all the way down to the Tahom. That's a possibility. So according to Rabbanan, it's certainly possible that you would catch the wine before it went all the way down. So therefore, maybe the Mishnah and Me'ilah is telling what the din would be Aliba the Rabbanan in the event that it was Iklat, if you had set something there to catch the Shittim. So what would be the din? Would you be male or not? As a matter of fact, this is so obvious that there were those who had the exact opposite approach to the question about the Mishnah and Me'ilah, and they suggested that Adarabba, it should only be going Aliba the Rabbanan. Maybe it's only going according to Rabbanan and not Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. Because look, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, since the norm was that we learn out from the Gzeirah Shavah, that even after we pour the wine into the Shittim, there would still be a Chiyav to make sure that we burn it like Noisar, and that that has to be done in the Azara. So then why would we say that there's no Me'ilah? There's still an Aveda that needs to be done with it. So maybe on the contrary, it's only going according to Rabbanan. Since Aliba the Rabbanan, there was no additional work that needed to be done with the Yayin. Therefore, the Mishnah says in Me'ilah, there's no more Me'ilah. But perhaps, Einar Finami, Aliba the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, then Dafka there would be Me'ilah. And we would say, Di Rabbi Elazar, Akati Bigdusha Tayo Kainu, you still have the Kedusha, so they're still considered to be Shaykh to Me'ilah. Answers the Gemara, but remember that that's a making an assumption that Me'ilah and Kedusha automatically are interrelated. But it certainly is not a correct assumption, because we need Dafka Kachi Hashem, which means that there are Miyuchadim to do the Avodah Vakadosh. This is like an additional thing that you're supposed to do, but it's not the main point for which we were Miyachid these Kachim LaHashem. Being Miyachid these Kachim LaHashem is Nesachim, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. It's certainly the Iker Aveda is obviously to pour it down, not to burn the remnants every 70 years. So he would also be made of it. Ein lecha davar shenaaseh mitzvato u'mo'alim bo. The general rule is, once the main mitzvah of Avedas Hashem has been done, then there would no more Me'ilah in terms of the din of Me'ilah, the carbon Me'ilah. It would be usher. Obviously, we have many places. Look, we even have the famous sugya that we had before about Nimkorim Lagananim Lezeva, where we sell the dam that came from the Mizbeach and that was washed out from the Azara. It was sold by the Gizborim as fertilizer. And over there it says that it was Osir Bahana'a. That's true. But that was Min Rabbanan when it says Marlin Ben, that the Rabbanan Osir Bahana'a. But Chas V'Shalom, you wouldn't be Chayev to bring a carbon Me'ilah. That would be bringing Chulin Ba'azara. So therefore, when it says over here there's no Me'ilah, it means even according to Rabbi Elazar, because it was Naaseit Mitzvato. Now, there's also, says Reish Lakish, that you should know that even according to the Shita, that the Shisim went directly down to the Tahom, we bedavka put something in the way so that initially as you pour the wine into those cups that were on top, it should not run straight out. And therefore, says Reish Lakish, Bizman sheminasechin yayin hagabeh mizbeach pokekin et hashitim. We put something in to prevent the wine from running straight out. Why? Because that was the pasuk that we were just doris. Bakodesh haseich nesech sheichar la'ashem. We darshed the word bakodesh to tell me the din of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. But there's something else that's interesting over here. I mean, if we're talking about yayin, so what exactly is the meaning of nesech sheichar la'ashem? What is added by the sheichar? I mean, you must admit that it's a reference to something that normally you would associate with human drinking. Because, I mean, Sheikhar has within it the connotation of getting high. has a connotation of shichrut, right? So it's like specifically, we use the word intoxicating, not only for literal shichrut, but we use intoxication for an intoxicating experience. And the entire thing is something that you put your heart into. Is that shayach to the mizbeach? And that's goof of the point, my mashma. Omer of Papa, look, that word shechar is not used loosely. It's not just a synonym for wine. It's a lashon of shtiya. It has this sense of a drinking party, you know. Lashon sviya. It's a feeling of, like, I feel really good about this. I feel fulfilled by it. That's what shechar. It's a lashon literally of shichrut, in which something is an intoxication. So that means that those concepts have to be shayach to the mizbeach. How do you make them shayach to the mizbeach? I understand that if you're telling me that there's a concept of achilat mizbeach, that there's a concept of shtiyata mizbeach. But in a sense, we look at that mizbeach as the representation of the Shekhinah's presence, and we can even give it these anthropomorphisms. That I understand. But I mean, here it's talking about a mitzvah. How do I do that? It says I'm supposed to pour it in a way that gives over those sensations of intoxication. That's the whole point, says Reish Lakish. If somebody is really into his wine, he's not sitting there daintily sipping wine at some kind of wine and cheese kind of thing. He wants to get into it, man. He's sitting there drinking, gulp, gulp. And he's, oh, man, this is incredible, right? That's, therefore, says Reish Lakish, that's what you got to do for the mizbeach. So if you're going to pour it down and it goes straight down the gullet as it is that you're pouring it into those cups, where do you see the intoxication? We want to see the gulp. So in order to see the gulp, you have to first fill up the kosos and then remove the little piece that you had put in to prevent it from running out. And now we see glug, 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 glug. So now this is already a sense of shichrut. That's the point. And therefore, says Rav Papa, you know, this has implications for humans as well. Because, I mean, if this is the implication vis-a-vis the mizbeach, then it meanwhile tells me about the human relationship to wine, which was, of course, the makar for the halacha. So you see from here, the way that Reish Lakish explained it, is that shmamina kisava inish chamra, to get any sense of a fulfillment, of satiation, you get this not from the presence of the wine in your belly. You get it from the actual act of swallowing the wine. And it's migrone sava, that additional sense of satiation comes from the gulp, not the sip. On my Rava, from there you can learn halacha lamaisa, because if you're a Talmud Chacham, to whom wine is very important, because wine is the idea of getting high enough to be able to understand that senichmas yayin yotzer sod. Remember, we even have that toast of chamra v'chaye l'pumid rabbanan, but it's dafke the rabbanan who can appreciate the impact of the wine on their mind and on the way that they relate to the body, to the world, in order to be loosened up, to be able to feel what it is that the Torah is showing them, that they can actually relate to it as a physical sensation. So what if a Talmud Chacham, as often happens, doesn't have enough money for a lot of good wine? It's got a little bit of wine. What would be the most effective use of that wine? So you might think that the most effective use is to drink little bits at a time and to keep the wine flowing. No, says Rava. On the contrary, what we learn from this halacha is that a tzur b'mirabon and delo nefish lechana, that if you're a Talmud Chacham and you don't have enough wine, keep it so that you can get a good swallow of it. Ligma gemue, give it a gulp. And that way there will be more of the sense of sfi'ah from the little bit of wine that you have. Rava, and because of this, Rava, when he was called to make a bracha, a kosher bracha, he was at a wedding, and he was doing the kosher bracha for the wedding, and the kosher bracha for Birkat HaMazon, whatever. Wherever there was a din of a kosher bracha that he was mechubed with, he would be bedafki, he would gulp it down, igma hagmuye, in order to show the chavivus of the mitzvah and to get a dibur chibur to the mitzvah. Dorash Rav, once we're talking about that pasuk in Shir HaShirim, remember that there's other elements in that pasuk, which begins by Yafu Pa Mayich Banalim Bat Nadiv, starts this whole beautiful discussion of referring to Klal Yisrael as Bat Nadi. So how beautiful your footsteps are in your shoes, O daughter of the most noble of people. So what is this referring to? Ma yafu pa'amotehem shel Yisrael, how beautiful are the footsteps of Klal Yisrael, b'sha'ah sho'alim laregel, when they come up to Yerushalayim to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Now remember that the beautiful remazim in the Pasuk are hidden in the profound interrelationship between pa'am, which means a step, pa'am, which means a time, regel, which means a holiday, regel, which means a foot, pa'am, which means the palm of the foot, and pa'am, which means a time, and regel, which means a time, because it says shalosh regalim, which has in it all of these interrelationships, in which case when we discover ultimately the interrelationships between time and space, they're merumah specifically in terms of the pa'am and the aliyah l'regel, which is the expression of the halicha of Avram Avinu. And that halicha is a constant direction towards the actualization of the Ma'aseh Bereishis, which was the Ma'aseh Yedei Oman that occurs here at the end of the story. And therefore, for us to see beauty in the footsteps of Klal Yisrael as they are literally walking, not simply traveling, but literally walking and interrelating the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis from the Borashis into the Mokum of the Kerem Ha'yel Yedidi and all of the other Inyanim on the Daf, we can literally sense the integration of time-space and the vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moment of Bria. And there's nothing more beautiful, which interrelates that to the very meaning of the Shalosh Regalim. And we take this back to the very beginning of Klal Yisrael, which of course is all about Halicha. It's all about Lech Lecha. It's all about Yisalech Lefanai. It's all about the Tmimus of Yisrael, which was said to Avram Avinu. And therefore, we need to understand the beauty of the whole Pasuk. So the Bat Nadiv, who is the Nadiv? Who is that? Simple meaning of Nadiv is noble, but the deeper meaning of Nadiv, and it's most simple, is the one who dedicated, he gave this donation of himself. And this is therefore a reference, Bedavka, to Avram Avinu. So it's Bito Shel Avram Avinu because he was called Nadiv. Where do we see him called Nadiv? Shenemar Nidivei Amim Ne'esafu. Those who are the greatest of all of the people in all of the nations in history, and who are the greatest? The few individuals who were born outside of Klal Yisrael's, of Avram's children, and they found their own way like Avram Avinu did. So they are called the Nidivim of the nations. So this is Nidivei Amim. They gather together. And they are the ones, the only ones that you can truly call the Am Elohei Avraham. In a sense, the ones are not the children of Avram who are the children, really, of Elohei Avraham. It's those who were exactly like Avraham. So why do you think it mentions Elohei Avraham? Because it's stressing Elohei Avraham, not Elohei Yitzchak, not Elohei Yaakov. I mean, what would that mean? How could there be such a concept? Yes. Elohei Avraham specifically because they took the path of Avram Avinu and he was the one who was the first Nadiv. He was the one who provides the model. That's why it's called Avraham. He's the model of coming to join HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we only mention him. Another meaning of Chamukei Yerechayich, not just in terms of the Mizbeach, but in terms of the most beautiful jewel of all, which is the Torah itself. So when it's saying that the beautiful shape of your thighs, again, taking this metaphor of this beautiful woman, why would Divrei Torah, which are the jewel, the Kamochalaim, why would we be referring to Divrei Torah as the beautiful thigh of a woman? Lomar lecha ma yorech basater, av Divrei Torah basater. You see a picture of a beautiful woman. It's not a woman who's exposing her thighs. It's a woman who is hinting at her thighs. So maybe you can catch a little bit of a glimpse through the split and the dress and so on. But the idea is to use the thigh as that which is beautiful but unexposed. And that's the meaning of Divrei Torah as well. Hainu Diyoma Rabbi Eliezer. This is Omar Lecha Ma'ayarach B'Sasser, so we keep it in a very intimate setting. So to Divrei Torah is intimacy. You don't sit and learn Torah with anybody at all who just walks in. You don't sit and learn Torah even when you're learning with those who are roy to learn that Torah with you. You don't sit there outside and teach that Torah and put it in a place where anybody who wants to can see it. The same way you wouldn't relate to a woman outside in the middle of a street. And therefore, this teaches us. He gid lecha adam matov, uma Hashem doresh mimcha, ki im asot mishpat, v'avat chesed v'atznei lechet im elokecha. So learning Torah is an act of intimacy. It's almost a physical intimacy. And therefore, it's not meant to be exposed to the public. And this we see is the same thing that even when a person, remember, we use the lashon of the halicha of Klal Yisrael. Well, there's another place where halicha is mentioned. Tov lalechet al beit avel, milalechet al beit simcha. What is that lechet? That's the halicha that is similar to Avram's halicha as well, in that it was the halicha of asiyas chesed, bin machnis akala to the chuppah, bin melava. Both of them is a din of melava. You're melava the chasin v'kala. You're melava the mace. That levaya is done through halicha. So that means that there's a remez here to understand that there's a hatsnea lechet, even when you are doing those things of halicha. And those things are meant to be public. I mean, there's no way to have a levaya in complete privacy. The meaning of a levaya is to give cover to the mason public. The meaning of being malava, the chasid and kala, is to be malava them and sing and dance and to give a public demonstration. So you might think that if that's the case, there's no inyan of tznius, and it's not true. It's coming to tell me that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you is, first of all, asot mishpat. First of all, ze hadin. Two things that people see are, they're not chukim, they're dinim that people understand that the way that you act is with honesty and with integrity. Let people see that. And then when it says ahavat chesed, to love chesed, that means to do things that are kind. And that's gemilut chasadim. And then hatsnea lechet, that's referring to those things that it says lechet. Taking a mace to kvura, being malava, achdasat kala lechupa. So let me ask you something. Can you imagine if even in something like that, halo dvarim kavachomer, if these things, shedarkan la'asotan befarhesya, these are things that are meant to be done in public. And the Torah says, but be careful to be discreet. What does that mean? Am I supposed to be discreet? Because there are people who think that all elements of personal discretion fall apart. Here I am, being dancing in front of the Chasar and Kala, I should show off, and I should make a big fuss about the fact that I'm the one that's doing the beautiful dancing, and I'm the one that gave the money to pay for the Chasana, and things like that, or I'm at a hesped. Unfortunately, most hespedim, and the person who's giving the hesped, has no interest in them. He's just interested in people admiring how wonderful his hesped was. It's horrifying to see. And therefore, this gufa is where the Torah is mechayev. This is where you should be more tzanua, because of the fact that it's public. Have greater sense of your own exposure. And therefore, if there, the things that the derech is la'seisam b'farhesya, the Torah says, be careful to be tzanua. So dvarim shedarkan lasot betzina halacha kama v'kama. Imagine those things that you always do betzina. You'll drop money off underneath somebody's door. You'll try to make sure that a person isn't embarrassed by the tzedakah that you give them. Halachas kama v'kama. How careful you have to be not to make a public statement about how wonderful you are. Omar Rabbi Elazar, you see that somebody who does tzedakah is greater than all the korbanos that we're talking about. Shenemar, because take a look at the way that the pasuk puts it in Mishle. Oseh tzedakah u'mishpat nifchar la'Hashem mizavach. Better than any zevach is doing tzedakah and mishpat. And furthermore, there's the difference between chesed that we said before and tzedakah. Because tzedakah you do with your money, and chesed you do with everything. You do with your body. You do with the smile of your mouth. You do with the gentleness of your voice. So that's much greater. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, you see from here, that gedola gemilut chasadim yoter min hatzedakah. It's relatively easy to share your money with somebody, but to share your love with somebody is much more difficult. Shenemar, ziru lachem l'tzedakah. Tzedakah is an investment, you know? You're giving money. You have no idea. The guy could take the money and go out and buy cigarettes with it, or go out and buy drugs with it. I mean, you know that you're accomplishing something. You're being zareya. Maybe something will grow from it. Maybe something won't grow from it. Maybe the opposite will grow from it. But when you're kotzer, means you're getting something from it. So the zariah, that's tzedakah. But the ketzira, that is defined by the chesed. Now, obviously, if the person is only zariah, who knows? He might ultimately get something from it, he might not. Safek ochel, safek eno ochel. And you don't know, you never know how it was used and whether it was a person that was able to have the judgment to use your money properly on what you did for them. But Adam Kotzer, if we're talking about Ktzira, then you're going to be eating it. Vaday Ochel. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, there's a deeper meaning to this, an incredible meaning. That you think that you measure the tzedakah with, oh, look how much money this person gave. He built the entire Beit HaKnesset. The truth is that Ein tzedakah mishtalemet ela lefi hachesed sheba. The investment of the tzedakah yields in terms of the schar that's given to the person in direct proportion to the amount of love that he invested in the giving of the tzedakah. That's the point. Because it says zero lechem the tzedakah, so invest the tzedakah, but your kotzer proportionate lefi the chesed. What a way to read the pasuk. So there's two elements. There's the what, and then there's the extent of what it is that you did as you did it, what it was that, how it was that you related, what it was that you cared about. Tana Rabbanan, b'shlosha dvarim gedolim gemilut chasadim yoter min hatzedakah. Look, there's three obvious ways that the concept of gemilut chasadim is broader and allows you deeper into relationship than simply giving charity. First of all, tzedakah is done with your money, and gemilut chasadim can be done with everything that you have. It's bein begufo, bein mimamono, it's your thoughts, it's your voice, it's your emotions. Secondly, tzedakah is to give people who need the money. So you're limited to aniyim. There's nobody who doesn't need chesed. Everybody needs chesed. Everybody needs the smile. So gebilut chesedim, bein laniyim, bein lashirim. Help somebody across the street. They may be very rich, but they need your help. Help somebody face a day. They may be very rich, but they need your help. That is so much broader. So that's bein laniyim, bein leashirim. Tzedakah. How are you going to give tzedakah to someone who's dead? Tzedakah is given only to the living. Gemilut chasadim, bein lechayim, bein lemeitim. You can give gemilut chasadim in any sense. There's a way to create a sense of kovet for the meis, of doing the real chesed shel emes is done dafka with the meis. That is a deeper concern for the human condition and for underlying humanity than just the ability to make use of things. And that's the use of things is always much less than the existential thing that you're giving. The Omar Rabbi Elazar, kola oset tzedakah umishpat, whatever it is, be the tiniest amount of tzedakah umishpat, if that tiny amount filled up the entire universe with chesed. This is the way we feel about it. You actually sense that you've changed the world. It's a good world out there. It's now a beautiful world. And that is Shinema. Ohe, Tzedaka, Mishpat, Chesed Hashem Malaharetz. Amazing. So you indicated your love of Chesed with some tiny issue. And that's the equivalent of filling the entire earth with the Chesed Hashem. Now, you might think that this is the easiest thing in the world, you know? Shema tomar kol habalik votz kofetz, and that every person has innumerable opportunities to do tzedakah and a chesed. And all you need to do is jump right in. Yeah, you wish. Talmud lomar ma yakar chazdech Elohim. Oh, how precious. Yakar, but also means rare. Rareness and preciousness. Ma yakar, not so simple. To find the person who responds to your love, to find the person who utilizes your money, You could be doing the, you think that you're jumping in and this person is cynical and he's being chayte because of what you're giving him. And in the end, you're destroying his life. And who knows? It's the most precious thing in the world to find the person that is going to be the recipient of both your money and your love is very, very difficult. You might think that someone who is a true Yorei Shamayim is going to have a very tough time of finding an opportunity. Somebody who is a Yorei Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him opportunities to have the right people to express his chesed to. Omer Reb Chama Bar Papa, Kol Adam Shiyesh Alav Chen, somebody who's zocha in people's eyes to chen, V'yadua Shu Yorei Shamayim, Shenema Chesed Hashem, that Chesed Hashem, which represents the chen that people find, in which, that is such a rare thing, in which a person feels that in loving this person, being attracted to this person, he's attracted directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is clear, that if that's the case, he must be a Yorei Shamayim. And that's why it says the chesed of Hashem that comes from the Chibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is given me olam ve'ad olam al yireyav. And also Rabbi Elazar added, when it says, Pia poscha b'chochma, v'torat chesed al shona. This goes back to our mistimicha mukei yirei chayach at the beginning of a reference to Torah. What is the meaning of a Torah's chesed? Is there such a thing as a Torah of chesed and a Torah that's not of chesed? Of course there is. Because Teras Chesed is reference to love. Chesed is always a reference to love. It has to come from love. So if the Torah is Lishma, so then as the Rambam says, what is the meaning of Torah Lishma? Mitoch the Ava, Vakarish Baruch Hu, is Tzivaba. So your entire relationship, that's why the Torah always, the Gemara always refers to Torah as my love, Rachmana. We don't even refer to Torah as Torah in the Gemara. So that, Torah Lishma, that's a Torah Shel Chesed. People that are sitting around and learning to get something out of it, or because it's a mitzvah, or whatever, that's not a Torah Shel Chesed, that's Torah. But it's a Torah She'ena Shel Chesed. And others say it means literally Shel Chesed. If you're learning Torah in order to be able to teach it, and to share it, and to have these wonderful relationships that are built around the sharing of Torah, that's a Torah of Chesed. But if you're learning in order to keep your insights, Shalola Lamda, Zoe Torah, She'ena Shel Chesed, that is Dafka the opposite.